Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It is going. It is going. I'm on vacation right now.
So are you?
I am. Today's like my last day of it, but...
Staycation?
Staycation. Staycation.
You probably picked the worst staycation week of the year. Yeah. Well, I don't know when your staycation started, but...
So it started last Friday, but we actually rented a house in Rehoboth. So I haven't had to travel too much. I can hop on the bikes and ride around. So it's been nice.
That's nice. Do you know Paul Webster?
I do not.
Him and his wife had the kite and toy store down there. And they, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they used to like rent a house in like December, you know, down in Rehoboth. Just like that whole Christmas month, you know, just all the fun stuff that goes on there down there. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know if it was, I don't know if they did November, December, but they were down there for, I think, a month. And it was, they just love it. Just being able to hang out in the town and not have to worry about the highway. And
I get it.
How many people rented?
So it was for my birthday. And then I had friends fly up from South Florida. So they stayed with me and I had a friend drive over from Virginia Beach.
Nice.
So it was real nice to have, you know, friends that I don't see necessarily every day.
How was the air conditioner?
The AC is solid. It's a very solid house.
It's solid. Nice. Well, I had to keep going outside to remind myself the air conditioning was even working because I'm like, I think it might be broken.
Dude, it's been brutal.
It's been brutal. I don't... So today... what's today? Wednesday. I don't think the... So this morning is beautiful. It was in the 60s this morning.
It was 68 this morning.
Yeah. Yesterday was better but rainy. But the day before Monday... I was like, I don't think I could take another day. I'm about to fly into the street with my hands flailing above my head and going, I can't take it.
Yeah. It's actually funny. My buddy, we call him Slim.
Slim.
Slim
nice.
Is just now starting to get slim.
Now, is that like, you know, I mean, is he not slim? Slimmer?
He's a big boy.
Okay, he's solid.
He's solid. Slim is solid. But
he's the anchor.
Yeah, Slim would be the anchor.
Nice.
But he's been running some, and he actually
a little closer because sorry. See, I knew that was gonna happen.
You did. You did. You called it.
You got your lean on, and then you disappeared. Because that happens to me. Just keep it around. That's good.
So Slim was actually at a race I just ran recently, and so he's been running some. So I was like, all right, awesome. I'm gonna take him on this bike ride. Mm. We're gonna, you know, ride through Rehoboth. We did the Henlopen Acres into Gordon's Pond. Well, by the time we got to the ferry terminal, you know how hot it was 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal. And I was like, well, if we turn around and go back, it's going to be pretty far still. And if we go all the way back to the Junction Breakwater Trail, it's, you know, another 6.5 miles. And so Slim was like, dude, I don't know if I can do it. But he just kept pushing.
Dude, there's no option, Slim.
No, there was no option except to get it done. He's like, well, I could get an Uber. Like that. Well, what are we gonna do with the bikes?
I hope he's like Slim. Come on now, seriously.
I tried.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I just watched, I think, stage 14 of the Tour de France last night, where they went up the Tour de Chalon, whatever it was. I mean, it's like the worst climb of, you know, I won't say of the tour, because I think there's 3 days coming up that are just, I mean, it makes those guys stress. But this was one of those big climbs, and these guys, you know. Whenever I'm struggling, I go, you know, I'm not climbing some French Alp, you know, it's right. Like, because I, you know, I've been, it's funny because I don't consider myself a bike rider. I mean, I obviously know how to ride a bike and stuff, but, you know, I prefer to run.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, because I thought about this morning, and I don't know what I am when I'm going to have this conversation with you, because, and we'll get more into your story, but I'm going to call myself a little bit of a runner. Okay. So I don't usually bike, but I was having some arch problems, and I don't want to say those two words, but it could have been something like that. You know what two words I'm talking about? Plantar
fasciitis.
Don't say it. Ooh. That's yeah. I don't
PF.
Even. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not good. So I felt like something like that was going on, but I was like, you know, I don't know. So I run with my buddy James, and he was out of town. He's a theater actor. I don't know if you know James Keegan, but he went to St. Petersburg for a couple months. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go take the kids to Rise, and just, you know, my little one wanted to join. So we did some working out, and I just put running on the shelf. he got back, and I said, you know what? I'm so glad, because I was
getting a little stir crazy.
Well, I was getting stir crazy, but a couple of things had gone on. I learned that I was running a lot prior because I was eating badly. So it was saving me. But when I started struggling with my foot, I had to really stop running for a bit. I had to give it a break. And then I'm like, well, if I keep eating like this, it's going to be trouble.
It's going to catch up to you.
So and we won't get into eating because it's a whole thing. But, you know, I made some adjustments. I feel a lot better. I'm maintaining a lot better weight. I feel a lot better internally, externally, mind-ternally.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
The gut-mind connection is a real thing.
Well, it's, you know, and the intestines can trick us. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're really full, it'll make you feel like you have to go on some serious diet. And really, it's just how I was treating my intestines. But we won't get into it. Right. Unless you want to, and then I'll get onto it all day.
We don't have to.
Okay, there we go.
So, I have a nutritionist for that.
Yeah, well, I need one. I probably need to be educated.
And Joanna,
we'll
get
one
on Rise.
Who?
Joanna from Rise.
Okay.
Definitely talk to her. She'd probably come on here and school you on some nutrition.
All right. I'm always about being schooled. So, but I made the adjustments. I feel a lot better, so I haven't really been worrying about it. James came back, and I'm like, well, I do want to make sure I don't lose my cardio. Because there is a, I mean, I only run 5 miles, but there, you know,
yeah.
If you lose it, it's gone. It's gone. So we went for a run, and I felt terrific. So I ran that day, and then I ran the next day, and I was like, ooh, my legs. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go for a little bike ride. And I started doing this 10-mile ride, you know, from my house to the boardwalk and back. I did it for 3 days, and I was really digging it. And then the kids came back, and then, you know, here we are today. So I ran this morning, ran with the kids. And it's just, I love running. There's just a freedom to it. You know, and I ran with my two boys, Sam and David, and then their buddy, Alex. And we just did 5 miles. You know, I ran, and they rode the bikes. But I felt, for my small little 5 miles that I'm doing, I felt terrific this morning. Just light and brisk.
I love it. I do it. Often I'll hop out and, you know, put the shoes on, hop out on the trail somewhere and get 4 or 5 miles in. And
yeah.
It's just you and the trail and enjoying nature.
What do you think? I've said this before, but what do you think about the term, you're not living unless you're suffering? Do you get that? I mean, when you're out running, you're suffering. I mean, do you start like becoming a poet, becoming a photographer? Do you feel like writing a script for a movie? I mean, do you just let loose in the mind?
You do. You're not living unless you're suffering. I think suffering is a choice.
Right.
So.
Well, actually, yeah, go ahead, but we can debate that too.
Yeah, we can. You know, I think it's a mindset. So I get to choose whether or not I'm suffering
right.
while I'm doing it. There's a lot of pain involved. There's pain. There's going
to
be pain.
Well, and and I'm not trying to say it's a negative. You know, I don't mean suffering like bad shay. You know, you're suffering. I mean, it's just like, you know, that wall of self-centered fear that kind of can encapsulate us.
Yeah.
But when we hit the, you know, whether it's a run or a bike ride or just out shaking hands and meeting people, but it's still uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
And it takes that little bit of self out of us. And then we start to kind of free up. And then, you know, we can... You know the bridge over there on the Breakwater Trail?
Freeman.
What's it called?
Freeman Bridge.
Is it Freeman Bridge? Does it have a name over there by the Glade?
By the Glade.
You know, if you're...
I was thinking towards Lewis. No, Freeman Bridge is going towards the ferry terminal.
No, I'm talking about the little bridge that says 1801 on it.
Yes.
Is it 18 or 17?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
It's old, though.
Numbers. Okay.
But, you know, I used to say, if I woke up at that bridge and looked over the rail, I would say, oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But when I run to that bridge, I look over the rail and I say, that's beautiful, and I feel like I can do anything I want to do in my life.
Okay.
Know what I'm saying?
No, I do.
You feel me?
I do feel you. I do feel you.
Do you get that? I mean, is that your...
I do get that. I'm getting real big into the mindset behind these things and how our thoughts really affect... our choices, they affect so much in our life. They affect our health. You know, I think your decisions dictate your direction
right.
in life. And those decisions come from your thoughts. So I have to be very aware of how I'm thinking.
Right.
And that's why, you know, when I'm running, I'm very mindful. I'm very, very, that's a time where I'm very, very mindful and in tune with what's going on. Because there are times where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And I could.
You're suffering.
I could give in, but I could give in to that suffering. Right. I'm like, I want to stop. Or I can be like, this is pain that I'm feeling right now, but I can go past this. I can go further than this. And maybe I haven't gone further yet, but you keep pushing. And I keep telling myself, all right, you can take one more step.
That's when the miracle takes place.
Oh, yeah. That's when the dopamine starts kicking in. And
but, I mean, that's really where, that's where you work through, you know. That's because oh. I, or like sometimes I'll run and I'm like, oh, my God, you're so tired. You know, my brain's like, oh, you're so tired. You need to talk. You need to stop. Mm-hmm. You're going to hurt yourself. So I'll stop. And then my mind's like, what'd you stop for? Mm-hmm. That was stupid. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? Off I go again.
I do it. I'm, you know, I'm no superhuman, that's for sure. And there's days where I get out there and it's super hot. And I'll start walking and I'm like, dude, you don't want anyone to see you walking. Like, you're supposed to be this runner guy.
Right. Well, that's tough, too, when you start to get that label.
Yeah.
You know, because I ran. And well, first of all, let's introduce you. Introduce yourself.
I am Shay Honaker. I moved here like 3 years ago, I want to say.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. My family has some deep roots here, and I grew up coming here in the summer. So my aunt and uncle own a print shop, and they offered me a position here when I got out of the military 3 years ago. And
that's Jay.
That's Jay and Melody Diaz.
Jay was just on the podcast.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I think you had kind of mentioned it, but he never said anything about it, so.
He's kept it under the radar. He was on. He was great.
I bet he was.
I love Jay. You know, him and I had our little thing, but we worked it out.
Yeah, it's all good.
We hugged it out.
Hey, sometimes it's all that, you know, has to happen.
That's when the miracle takes place. Well, listen, I met you through Jay through the print shop, and I've always thought you're a pretty interesting guy. You know, I don't know you, but you're one of those guys that I know Jay. I mean, mm-hmm. I know Shay. Excuse me, Jay and Shay, but you know, but I don't even know you.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I, on these like 5 minute conversations, when I'd go over there and aggravate Jay, like, hey, can I get this and can I get that, and I'd chat with you, and I feel like we had at least a good enough friendship that when I saw you at the gym and I could ask you to come on the podcast, so. I always say I really appreciate it. You took some time out of your day off, your staycation, to come hang out with me for a bit. So I really appreciate that.
More than welcome.
So, yeah, and I was running. You know what? Shit. Hold on a second. I got to read this. Corporate's going to have a heart attack. We have a sponsor. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Who is the sponsor?
Shit. I'm glad you asked that. Let me, because we got a new version. I had to call corporate and ask them for a new version because the other one was a little winded. So let's see what this one sounds like. It says short version.
Short version.
That's us on the short version. That's where we are these days. All right. Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Urban Float.
Ooh, Urban Float.
The premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Experience the ultimate in weightless relaxation as well as the healing benefits of 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Call 302-232-3141 to book your next float or book online at urbanfloat.com and use the code first time.
Urban Float.
To get 50% off. Ooh, 50% off if you use first time. I did not know that. Wow.
That's a nice one.
Wow, okay. Because I feel like I just bought one. Oh, I don't think I got that discount.
Yeah, because I've already gone. So I'm like, do I get the 50%?
You do.
Okay.
Absolutely. Renew, refresh, and revive at?
Urban Float.
Urban Float. And they're located, you know, corporate took out where they're located because he knows what I'm going to say. They're located next to Rosenfeld's.
That's what I was going to go with, Rosenfeld's.
And Rosenfeld's have been on the podcast as well, so we'll give them a shout out. And that's all done. So what I was going to say is that, you know, I was running. The most I can run is probably maybe I've run 9 miles before. That's about my max. I'm a little bit older. So And that doesn't mean anything, but in my life, that's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, I used to run about 5 miles a day, 4 or 5 times a week. I don't know what was wrong with me. Something's going on, but I was doing it. And I was taking pictures. I got this tag as the running guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And anybody, I'd say, oh, my God, you run every day. You're just a runner. And there was a time when I was, but, you know, time moves on. We get older. We change, you know. Things become better emotionally and physically, and things worsen emotionally and physically. So I had to, you know, my running's not as much as it used to be, but I'm still known as the running guy. So, like, I'll see people, my clients are like, well, you run every day. I'm like, no, I don't.
It's been a little while since I was the
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, so I'm, but I did run today. But so, yeah, you get that tag, and all of a sudden, and then we're going to drop a new tag on you here in a few minutes.
Oh, are we?
Ultra marathon.
Oh.
Now you're screwed.
Now I'm like really deep in it now, because like you have to plan these races 6 months out, a year out. So I'm in it.
So, I mean, how? First of all, what's an ultra marathon for those who don't know?
So anyone who doesn't know, ultra marathon is anything over the marathon distance, which is 26.2 miles. But normally it starts at like the 50K range, which is around 31 or 32 miles.
Okay. What's your longest?
I've only ran one official ultra, which was a 100-mile race. And then I've done some training runs.
Did you win?
I took third.
Did you?
I did. Yeah, I did.
I'm not going to ask how many people are in it. I'm just going to go with, I like third. Third's, you know what? Air knuckles, that's amazing.
Thank you, thank you. It's been something I've wanted to do for a while. So I found out about the ultra world back in 2010, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with David Goggins.
Yeah. I've seen him on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Okay. Okay.
So he's that's awesome.
A lot of people have seen him.
He's beast mode.
he's pretty intense. He's pretty intense. So I found
out. Is he a black guy?
Yeah.
Ex-Navy SEAL. I mean, wasn't he running like 100 marathons? Wait. Let me say this right. Didn't he run a 100-mile marathon every week for 8 weeks?
I went and looked up his stats, because you can see anyone who runs in the ultra world. There's a website called ultrasignup.com. And so I went to look up his runs, and it's impressive. I mean, it's 50-miler this weekend, 100-miler the next weekend, 200-miler, 50-miler, 100-miler. Like, and
I want to say he did 8 100-mile marathons in 8 weeks.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
How does that – I mean, obviously he's special, right? I mean, he's got to be special. But I mean, like, he's intense. 5 miles this morning, and I, you know, my foot was hurting a little bit. Is there a switch that goes off in your brain that just says we don't feel the pain, or
he's a little bit different. I think, like, he swears he's not sadistic, and
he's sad.
Yes,
he's sad inside. He's what's going on.
Yes, he has some things he's working out, because I know for me, after my 100, it was an awesome experience. But I was like, I want a little bit of time off.
Right.
So to do that to yourself over and over and over again, it's just a different. He's on a different level. It's just a different level.
I know when I'm just going to compare a little bit of my. I'm just going to share back and forth with you, but please don't think that I'm comparing my running to a 100-mile marathon or to any ultra. But it's all I got.
Right.
It's all I can share with. But, you know, I found when I was – there was a point in my life when I was doing, like – I was running 5 days a week, 5 miles a day, maybe 6, 7, maybe 8. I would do Gordon's Pond, maybe a little longer. And when I look back at it, it was a real low point in my life. I used the running as kind of an escape to heal. And then my life changed, and, you know, whatever, relationships change, and, you know, new things start, and things get improved. And then I'm like, eh.
You know, I think it's run a coping mechanism.
It's a coping mechanism. So we won't presume or assume what is going on in his life, but that's different.
He doesn't really run as much anymore. He's not doing it as much.
I'm not even sure he'd be able to, right?
He had the heart surgeries. And
heart surgery?
Yeah, he had a hole in his heart, but he was still running on top of it, and there was a lot there. And then he broke the pull-up world record, and... I don't really know.
You think he does it for the chicks?
No.
Is he married?
He's engaged right now, from what I know.
Let me tell you. I'll tell you what happened. Let me break it down for you right now, brother man. Girl broke his heart, and he went Forrest Gump on him.
I mean,
and he went. And he was running.
He just kept running.
And just kept running.
It didn't stop.
And then one day, he stopped, and the girl said, "Hey." He said, "Hey, want to get engaged? I'm going to stop running."
I mean, it could totally be like that. I really don't know.
Nah, I know. We're just having fun, but...
But no, yeah, it's definitely a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's healthier ones for me. It's one that I use to kind of get away from some of my unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Right.
So... And it's a good place to work some things out in your head.
It is a great place. And like I said, when I run, I become a poet. I become a director. I become a photographer. You know, I love taking pictures. People go, "Oh, my God, these photos are so amazing." I go, "Really?" I was just running. It just happened to be a sunrise. You know, I always say a great picture isn't necessarily... I mean, the photographer is important, but, and you pretty much ask any photographer this, it's just at the right place at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get up early and run, you're usually at the right place at the right time.
Great shots.
But yeah, but it's like it really, and it's cool that you talked about how you're kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of learning about yourself in the mind through the running.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly... You know, I really have to do it for the meditation. I call it mental medication.
Mm-hmm.
It's suffering. And as much as I enjoy it, and I know you enjoy it, but it is, you know, it hurts worse than laying in bed, right? I mean, we can consider it.
How do I feel about that?
I'm talking physical, Shay.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
of course,
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
rather, if you were laying in bed, you'd be like, "Oh, I can't be laying in bed." I get
right.
that. I'm
yeah,
just
yeah.
saying,
okay, yes,
physical.
Yes. Physically, yes, yes.
Your quads aren't hurting laying in bed.
No.
Not as bad.
No.
So that's what I want to say. Okay. I'm suffering. We're just out there doing the work.
Doing the work. You got to do the work. It's when I get my most creative is out there. You know, I get it. I totally understand where you're coming from. So.
Well, the gifts that I have in my life is that I have some kids. And there was a time in my life where I didn't think that I would ever have kids or get married. You know, I was drinking, drugging, living a life of me.
Me too.
Smoking.
Me too.
And in 97, I decided through, I'd like to say God reached down and touched me, but somebody smashed my face in it over at the bar.
Get it.
And I've decided to make some changes. And one of them, you know, I quit smoking and I started running. And that was in 99 is when I quit smoking. And my life changed so much. And luckily for today, the gift is I have some kids. And, you know, as a father, you try to be, you know, obviously a good example with working and not behaving badly. But then, you know, you start trying to implement some health things.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily my kids have always been interested in, because I've ever since they've been alive, I mean, all my kids... Well, my two boys, I ran with them in jogging strollers.
I just
in the very
doing that.
Beginning.
It's very hard.
Yeah,
it's very hard.
It is very hard. It wasn't that hard. I mean, you know,
compared to just going out for a run, like I mean,
yeah,
my times drop off like a minute and a half.
I don't post times. Just distance. Let's keep it real here.
I get it.
But so they've always been interested in, you know, my one son. Well, David, first, I used to take David over to the body shop down in Rehoboth, and shout out to Adam, love Adam. And then he put up with that shit for a little while, Adam did, and then I had another kid, and I brought him down there, and he's like, I'll never forget, he looks at me and goes, "This isn't daycare." I was like, I go, "Message received," and we got out of there, and I had to start, that's when I really got back into my running, but... And then Ryan, you know, Ryan lets me bring, Ryan said, you know, when Sam turns 8, he can get a membership. And so I've had to adjust my workouts, you know. It's now stretchy stuff, push-ups, jumping mm-hmm. jacks, you know, back to basics. But my kids have always gone, as soon as they could ride a bike, they've always ridden along as I ran.
I'm excited for that.
It is an awesome experience, man.
My daughter's only, she's going to be 16 months. So she's still in the jogging stroller, but I cannot wait for her to be able to experience like going out on the trail and just kind of getting to take her to my special place.
That's right.
So,
and I tell you what, man, they'd love that. I think, you know, it's like being at 16 months and eating like KFC with your kid. You know, you start, whether it's a KFC or a run, they start recognizing it. And if you live that lifestyle, and no offense to KFC and people that eat KFC, but, you know, if that's the lifestyle, your kid's like, oh, we love KFC. Or you go, oh, we love running. Mm-hmm. I love this trail. I love, you know, my daughter, Teresa, she's just started riding her bike. She looked at me this morning. She goes, I'd like to go. I go, nah, Teresa, now. Come on now. We're going to do 5 miles. She goes, well, when you get back, can you run? Can we walk around the driveway as I ride my bike? I said, absolutely.
That's awesome.
But it's a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of life that I've chosen. It sounds like that you're choosing. It's not for everyone. It requires running, unfortunately. But, you know, and I did a podcast live video this morning on my Facebook page, and I, you know, I sat on the curb at the outlets with my kids, and we talked, and I said, you know, when do you start trying to get your kids involved, you know, and is it, do you push them, do you let them? I mean, and I know everyone loves sports. We love our kids in sports, but, you know, just sharing your lifestyle.
I think that lifestyle should be, you know, you should live it by example.
Right.
So that's something where there's been changes in my lifestyle. And now I'm in, as my daughter's...
How old are you?
I just turned 30 on Saturday, so...
So I'm 50.
Okay.
So we're 20 years, and I can tell you, this is the great time. This was my great time, 30 right. to 50. And
I guess at 99, which we're in 2019, so 20 years ago, so you were making that transition about absolutely. The same time that... I'm making the transition for myself.
You look better in the beginning than I did. I didn't look so good.
I had some rough
I wasn't running any ultramarathons in 99. I was like walking the block.
I get it.
Well, and you know what? That's a great, you know, how do you start? You know, there's probably a lot of people out there. I've had people on the podcast that start small businesses, and, you know, my message is, how do you get started? You know, for that guy that's sitting there, or the gal that's sitting at home going, you know, I want to start a small business, or I want to start running, you know, what, or have you just always been a runner? I mean, or did you at some point have to say, I'm going to start trying to run?
I mean, I think you start with what you have and do what you can. So if that's taking that first step and walking around the block, then that's what you have to do.
Small goals. Get up, for one. That's a great goal. Just get up.
Get up. For me, I have always been a runner, to answer your question. I grew up, actually, my first 5K, I was like 14 on vacation here in Rehoboth.
Nice.
Ran a Seashore Striders race. And I kind of was hooked from there, and then I got into track. I played sports, so I continued to run up until I went to college. Got into a little bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was all bad. All bad.
All bad?
All bad.
That's
I was running great, best times of my life, but I wasn't going to class, and I was getting in trouble outside of school. So I moved back home to South Florida, and I'd stopped running for a little while.
South Florida seems like a safe place.
Mm.
No suffering there.
none. And then from there... Well, I guess this takes us back to 2010 when I started looking into the military, and that's how I found David Goggins, and I found ultramarathons. And my Aunt Melody, she said, if you want, she said, I'm going to run the ING Miami Marathon. She's like, I know you're training to get ready. I wanted to go to Bud's.
Melanie's your aunt.
She's my aunt, yes.
She's a badass, too.
She can run some miles.
Don't mess with Mel.
So my first big race was a marathon. I ran it with her, and I kind of got hooked from there. And so that's how the running career kind of started for me. So I've kind of always been a runner. How do you start, though?
Well, I'll say, you know, when I was, you know, sitting on the couch smoking cigarettes and drinking beer skis, you know, I had to make a change, and I said... I remember running on it. I had gone to school up at Rutgers for turf management, and I remember going and running on a treadmill up in New Jersey because I really wanted to be a runner. I just felt like runners were just cool,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I wanted to be a runner. I remember running and then getting in my car and having a cigarette.
Can I tell you a secret?
Wait a minute. Is it going to be really like a secret? Because
no.
Someone might hear.
I mean, it might be. It's not a secret. This is my accountability, I guess.
Put it out there, brother.
That's been like one of the hardest things of my entire life is quitting smoking
cigarettes.
And after I run, that's like the time where I'm really craving a cigarette. Big time.
Yeah, that is that. Well, I tell you, if you're running an ultra marathon, you know, and you want to have a cigarette, go right ahead. I mean, what the hell? I mean, I wasn't running ultra marathons and having cigarettes. I was running on the treadmill, but you know, I'd been smoking since I was 15. I was in bad shape. I was hurting.
I'm a decade plus, but I think it's finally hit me to where I'm like, I'm not at the best that I could be. I know that I could be at a much more elite level if I cut all the bullshit aside. Am I allowed to say that word?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we got maybe two listeners.
Okay. but yeah, it's one of those really, really tough things that that's what I have. That's kind of like, because it's one of my coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And it's something that I deal with.
I went through a real critical point on people that smoked because I was a ex-smoker. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you quit something, you know, I can look down my nose mm-hmm. and be judgmental. And I had to stop that. You know, we're a spiritual being having a human experience that involves a smoke every once in a while. That's
sometimes,
all. You know,
sometimes.
It's just no big deal.
It is no big deal, but then it is a big deal.
It's a very big deal, and unfortunately, it doesn't really kick in until we get older, mm-hmm. and that's why I quit smoking, because I really was trying. At my age, when you start getting older, you start. It's about taking care of this vehicle mm-hmm. for the end.
Exactly.
And I don't want to be, like, on an oxygen tank. You know, my wife is quite a bit younger than me, and you know what? And I won't. Well,
I get it, and actually, that's why I'm just pulling my phone out to go to my. I have a daily count, and I have 20,084 days, and it says until I become, or I don't, and that's still my 85th birthday. So I have a countdown to my 85th birthday because I feel like by the time you're 85, you should probably have your affairs in order, and you should be able to be
85.
Yeah, 85.
By the time you're 85, you should get your affairs in order.
They should be okay. by that time. You should be set, and you should be looking back on your life and being able to help other people reach their dreams. So that's by every experience that I want to have, every race, every dream that I want to accomplish, should be done by the time you're 85. I don't think, you know, by that time you should be able to just.
That's a big span, though.
It's 55 years.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, like, high school for my kids, or I look at, like, finishing middle school. But I get you. I see what you're saying.
If you're going big picture vision.
Big picture.
Of who is it? Who is Tom? What do they say about his life? Because I might not make it to 85. I might only make it to 65.
Right.
I might only make it till tomorrow, you know? So have I accomplished everything that I can accomplish? Have I lived out every dream that I can live out? No, not even close.
No.
And I have to fit that into, because I'm like, 85, that sounds like, you know, that's a pretty good life. You make it to 85.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. I have to look at it, and I'm like, am I living up to, am I doing the best that I can be doing today and building upon that so that I can reach every dream and goal, you know, in that time span? And it's 85. That was a number I picked.
It's a good number. I mean, I think it's average.
Lifespan-wise, I think that's about a realistic lifespan.
I'm not sure. You know, obviously it depends on your health, but I'm not sure I really particularly care about living much past 85. But that's easy to say now. But 85, I'm like, just give me another day. Just give me another day. Yeah. You know?
You know, grandkids.
My wife's grandmother is 96, mm-hmm. and she is in great health, and she was a big runner.
Yeah.
And she actually she ran a marathon in her, like, 70s.
Oh, yeah, you can go endurance sports, you can do for quite a while.
But you know what her problem is she can't see anything now. I mean, she can see, but she can't, her vision is terrible, and mm-hmm. she falls, and her balance is bad. And she's just, like, she feels like she's a burden, you know, and it's just, it's tough, I think, at 80, you know, at 85, 95, 96. You know, and I feel bad for her. I was, you know, I saw her yesterday. I'm like, how you doing? She fell the other day. She fell on the 4th of July, 26 stitches she needed. You know, and at 96, your skin is like tissue paper.
Yeah.
So, she got her stitches out. She was doing great. But, you know, that's, at some point, you're just like, oh.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Those experiences and dreams and goals, they should probably be accomplished by the time you're getting up there.
What's a short-term goal for Shay?
Short-term goal for Shay... one of them right now is to do a marathon on the ski erg. So fitness wise, that's one of my goals.
What?
The ski erg, the, you know, like the rowing machine, but they have the one that looks like a ski.
Oh, with the strings?
With the strings that you pull down.
Yeah. In the corner?
Yes, in the corner.
I like the corner.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a lofty goal, but
that was
42,000.
I pulled that string like meters. 7 times. I was like, well, I'm gonna skip this thing. That thing's not good for me. I got a bad back.
Yeah, so that's a physical goal, because I have to keep those. I have to, you know, have a race lined up. I have to have something like that to keep pushing me. Outside of that, I want to be debt free.
Mm.
That's another big one that, you know, I'm really working towards. I don't want to owe anybody anything.
Well, I mean, did you get in debt and you want to clean that up? Because, you know, I can tell you as a 50-year-old adult, I'm in debt. I mean, we always got debt. I mean, I think it's manageable. I have a manageable amount of debt. I can't.
Right.
It's hard to operate a business without any debt.
So is mine.
But like when I'm buying, you know, when I'm overspending at Amazon and I've racked up some debt that way, yeah, that's.
I don't want to have any debt.
Nice.
None.
Free.
Free.
Paid off car, paid off house.
Paid off car, paid off house.
Hmm.
That's the lifestyle that I want to live.
Okay, I like that lifestyle.
So
I think that's, you know, we talk about fitness, we talk about food, but financial, you know, as a parent, that's another. We are in a weird time in our lives. You know, everything now, and it talks. And I'm not religious,
mm-hmm.
not religious, but it talks about in the Bible where. You know, in the end, everything will be like, there'll be no money. Everything will be like on a card, you know.
It's getting there. I grew up in church, so I've heard the same thing. Well, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, oh, this is a little freaky.
Yeah, it's a little freaky because, you know, like even if you go to like a Lefties or, you know, they don't even want you to, they want you to charge a card, fill the card with money, and then use the card and swipe to play games. You know, we just took the kids down to the boardwalk. You pay and you get a card, and then they swipe the card. You're not feeling that pain of handing away your physical money. It's just numbers now.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it with your phone, Apple Pay, you know, just push a button here, Amazon, buy with one click. I mean, we live in a very different world, and then you have, like, the cryptocurrencies, which haven't really taken off yet, but that technology, because people aren't going to want to wait and take time to, you know, Venmo or... It's going to be instantaneous transfers, and it's all just ones and zeros.
It's all just ones and zeros, and it's weird. I'm like, what is – so, you know, that's a great example for your daughter. You know, that's another way – it's weird all the responsibilities we have as a parent, you know?
Yeah, I know. Now I'm like, I'm not where I need to be because I'm like, how do I create generational wealth?
Mm.
So by the time that I'm at that 85, you know, like – my grandkids can be taken care of, and I don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to leave them with the best possible opportunity going forward, you know?
That's awesome.
So that's kind of just where I'm at.
Do you want to have any more kids? Steady. Take a drink of something if you need to. Sip.
Yes, maybe. My fiance would like us to have more kids down the road, and if I'm in the position,
you'll never be in the position.
Well, my first time, it was.
I'm just saying that as a parent, you never have enough money. There's never enough time.
No, I can totally see that. It was just I was caught off guard the first time.
Oh, say no more.
You know,
I hear you.
So I would like to plan this out a little bit more. So I haven't started planning. I'll say that much.
I can tell you for me, the biggest gift I have in my life is my children. They're just freaking awesome. I love them. I love my kids. Oh. And they're a pain in the ass and a total inconvenience. Fucking drive me absolutely insane. And I just love them to death. You know, we did my daughter, Teresa, you know, first day of summer, I want to have a lemonade stand with Arden. That's a girl that she's in school with. And mm-hmm. I'm like, right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. Let me get right on that. Every day, lemonade stand. I'm like, oh. So finally, this past weekend, I said, you know what? Let's do it. Got hold of Arden, and they did the lemonade stand, and they just freaking had the best time. And I took the day off of work, and they made money.
They did make some money. That's
$83.
That's not a little bit of money for some kids.
No, so
they're rich.
Well, I made them donate it.
Ooh, even, I like that.
And I didn't really make them. But, you know, Arden is a cancer survivor. I don't know if you know Trey Sullivan, but it's her daughter. And she survived cancer twice. And she's like 7 or 8 years old. And wow. So we donated all the money. So then the next Monday, Sam, my boy, he comes back. And I'm like, oh, my God, we did a lemonade stand on Saturday. And Teresa made $80. He's like, I want a lemonade stand.
Yeah.
So he sat and put up a lemonade stand on Monday. He made $80 selling lemonade. And I go, are you going to donate? He goes, nope. Yeah. This is all for me. And, you know, but he wants to buy a Nintendo Switch game mm-hmm. thing, a gaming system. And I'm like, well, you know what? I can't really be upset that he doesn't, yeah. you know, if he wants a goal, if he's got a goal and he sits down. And I tell you what, he sat out there, he got his umbrella, he got his iPad. He just sat right there and just sold lemonade. No, you know, not a big deal, nothing urgent.
Right.
The people just kept pulling up. It happened to be like 100 degrees outside. And he made capitalism. His money.
And I like it.
But I'm like, you know, I'm inspired by him. I admire him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a gift. I mean, if I had more money, I'd have more kids. My wife wants to have another one. I'm like, no, I can't carry that car carrier anymore.
Oh, man.
That thing, you know, this.
Yeah, it's getting heavier.
It's getting heavier.
And heavier.
And then, you know, they get to sit in the back, and then they want to sit in the front. And you're like, I better not, you know, because
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, but like my 8-year-old, can I sit in the front? I'm like,
got a couple more years. Get to double digits.
Can I steer? Can I steer the car? Okay.
I can't wait for all those
things. It's the best. And then the other kids are like, I want to sit in the front. I want to steer the car. So, you know, the two boys are mine. Teresa's my wife's daughter, but she, you know, she just is a sparkle in my eye. She's a real game changer because I was, you know, I had two boys.
Yeah.
And now, you know.
See, I started with the girl, and I wanted a boy. I wanted a boy so bad. And then I had a girl, and I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, she can do anything that the boys can do, and she's a daddy's girl, so I love it.
Yep. They're a blast. So do you have an ultra marathon set up? I mean, are you training for something? What are you training for? What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, actually, good question. What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, you're gonna work with Jay. You guys are gonna open a new branch. You're gonna branch out, start your own, become a business owner.
Man, you're really putting me on the spot. I do.
That's
have
what we do here.
I do have some plans. I do want to be a business owner. That's something that I'm very entrepreneurial minded.
Yep.
I love it. I love brand strategy. I love creating concepts in my head and creating solutions.
Well, we've talked about even you doing a podcast.
Yeah, I've thought about.
And I told you that if you did want to, or if you if you would like to do a podcast, that I would, you know, I would help you. I would do anything I can do to help you.
And I really appreciate that. But when I grow up, I mean, I would like to get into real estate a little bit, mm-hmm. At least buying up some real estate, because there's still so much growth and opportunity around here.
Yep.
There's so many things that we don't have necessarily that, you know, we're behind. We're behind here in our little area, and we might not always realize it, but we're behind a couple of years, so.
Well, how many times do you hear people say, oh, I wish I had bought that land back in the, you know, back in the day. I'm like, you want to buy land back? You want to do that? There's a big chunk of open land right there next to Milton. Go buy it.
It's called Lincoln.
Yeah, go buy Lincoln. You know, go buy any of that land, because in 50 years, it's going to be, you know, prime property.
I played The Sims. When you put a hospital somewhere, then a school comes, and then, you know, you grow the town. I get it. I understand how it works.
Oh, yeah. Video games are important. I understand. It's a good, what's that, there's another one, Freeway or Skyfall, I don't know.
Oh, I haven't played games in a long time, so.
Yeah, well, me neither.
I'll probably learn about them again.
I play the game of life.
The game of life, the game of life. But ultramarathons, I'm looking at a couple, I'm looking probably 6 to 8 months out, so there's one down in Florida. That I just ran, called the Dunes 100.
So you ran 100 miles?
100 miles. 100 miles. It's like 65 miles of it is soft sand. So it was that.
It's 112 miles.
It was pretty rough. I was expecting like 20 some miles of soft sand, and they were like, dude, it's called the Dunes 100. What'd you think it was going to be? I was like, all right, you're right, you're right. It just sounded really nice on the race report.
Where
like,
I'm from, you're not allowed to get on the dunes, so.
I mean, you get the little walking dune section.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
That's what I had to train on, though, was the 2 mile walking dune stretch. Mm. How many times can you run that back and forth?
Me?
No, I'm just saying. Oh, just. It gets a little old.
Because I can answer that. None. I do a little loop where I end up on the beach, but I stay towards the water.
Okay.
So I can take pictures.
I get it.
It's just
I take pictures sometimes too.
Do you?
Yeah, definitely.
Did I tell you I ran this morning? I told you.
You told me that, yeah.
Yeah, I ran with the kids and I'm like, come on, guys, let's take a picture. All right, one more picture. And we're going to do the Facebook Live. They're like, oh, really? I'm like, come on. Lighten up, kids.
Yeah, have some fun. It's summertime.
Help your old man out here.
Help him get some likes.
Yeah, let me get some likes. I need some likes.
You guys are clickbait.
Well, I don't care about likes. Honestly, I like Facebook. Do you do a lot of social media?
I'm getting more into it now. I do. I understand it. I understand how it works. I just don't necessarily like to take the time to really to craft a post and to use just the right photo and to put the Lightroom presets on a photo and to really engage.
Well, when you say it like that, who would? Because it sounds
like work.
Sounds pretentious. It sounds like it's like, yeah, who wants to get kicked in the face? You know, it's like it's not. I get it, but you know, I just got rid of Instagram.
You got rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
Now why was that?
I don't like it.
Really?
I don't like how. I just feel like it's just. You know how the tone you just were explaining it? I feel that is Instagram, you know, because it is crafting a post, getting the right angle. My wife and I went to Mexico for a week for our honeymoon. And if you could have seen, you know, it's out of the United States, a lot of Europeans, a lot of, you know, other parts of the world were there. And it was all about Instagram. And these people would sit there on the beach taking these pictures. And it was weird. It was like a couple guys and like 10... you know, babes and bikinis, and they're like their little entourage, and they'd sit around, they'd drink champagne at the pool, and then they would just take pictures.
Were you guys in Tulum?
No, we were in Cancun.
Oh, Cancun, okay.
At Breathless, but, and it was just, and they just sat there for hours taking pictures of themselves, getting the right picture to get the likes, so that eventually they could put up, you know, some sort of brand or...
One post.
Right.
One post.
Exactly.
Missing out on the experience. For one post.
Yeah, and I felt, I like Facebook. You know, I like Facebook because it's really me just kind of documenting my life, you know, with my family, my kids, you know, I take pictures of steak. I don't care. I take pictures of breakfast. I don't care. If you don't like it, there's something else going on with you, not me. It's just a picture of some eggs. I took pictures of eggs this morning, you know, because we ran and I fed my kids.
I saw your eggs.
So it's like, but it's mine. It's just my little thing. And then anybody that's, I know, the problem with Instagram for me is that I see all these people and they have special names, but I don't know exactly who they are.
Okay.
And I want to know who I'm dealing with, you know, and if I don't like you, I can delete you.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, they sneak in, they friend you and you let them in and then they dump their garbage in your house and then I just delete them because I want to
do the same.
Yeah. I just want a happy little Facebook and... But the thing that I'm having to start trying to do, and it's what, you know, it's kind of the thing to do is this Facebook Live. You know, you talk to these people that are especially, you know, I don't do as much Facebook Live for myself personally, my own thing, but like for this podcast, you know, I did a Facebook Live video this morning and I shared you were coming on. I was excited about that. You know, Project Kudos, we did a podcast with them. Their podcast went live today. And, you know, so I try to do a little bit of an update. Unfortunately, like this podcast, like if I'm dropping this information, it's not going to be posted for a week. So that's a good and bad side of podcasting, I guess. But the Facebook Live allows me to, you know, kind of update people.
I like the Facebook Live. I haven't got on there. I'm a little nervous about it.
It's scary.
It is. You're really putting yourself out there like
it's intimidating.
In the but I get what you're saying about Instagram. I'm conflicted by it because it's necessary in the business world almost nowadays. If you have a business, that you need to have an Instagram, and you have to have this crafted feed, and then you have social media managers, and it needs to be connected to your Facebook and linked to your website.
I feel like it's necessary for the people that want to do to try to get the maximum amount of something with the minimum amount of work. What I feel like Instagram is. I don't think, you know, you guys are, the business that you're in, you're not successful because of Instagram.
No, we have no social media, actually.
I think that that's what people want you, I think that's what Instagram wants you to believe, that that's what it's important. And I may, and listen, it's fine. I may bring it back again just because there's an Instagram TV or Instagram Live on there now, but I just don't like the anonymity of it. I know you can research and dig further and find out who exactly everyone is, but I just...
So have you heard anything about, like, Mighty Networks or Disciple Media?
No.
Oh. So Mighty Networks actually was started by a woman named Gina Bianchini.
Mm-hmm.
And she believes that there can be multiple networks, you know, that you don't just have to have Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. That if you, let's say you have a yoga practice, and you're very, you know, you're a yogi and you're good at yoga, well, you can put your videos on there. You can create a community through this app that, you know, they crafted to be just for you. So just be, this is Tom's yoga app, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And you can share that with your friends and the people that are in your community, and they can share that. And then it builds and grows its own community within that app organically. So it's a cool concept because not everyone wants to be on Instagram or... Maybe you want to be in your little niche, you know, and so that's something I'm interested into exploring a little bit more.
The problem with those is that if there's not a lot of people, you know, as much as I like that idea, you know, I made my own app,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Rehoboth Social, and the app is really about promoting a town, an area, you know, instead of, you know, why put it out there for the world? Why don't I promote our town? You know, let's put local into social. So, but. You know, if no one's really looking at it.
How do you create the demand?
Yeah, how do you create the demand? And I built the app and I paid for it out of my own pocket and it's mm-hmm. done. I don't think I would change about building it again. But, you know, halfway through, I'm like, wow, this is a bigger mountain to climb than I really thought.
That's what makes it nice about the Mighty Networks or Disciples. It's pretty much plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the infrastructure already built out. You plug in the content, the starting content, but you can grab things.
Are you using it now?
I'm not currently using it, no, because I don't have anyone that I want to follow in it. But I would like to, I'm looking at doing different, like a membership site,
mm-hmm.
and helping some other people start up some membership sites for their own niche, you know, areas that they're in, which I think Rehoboth Social could be cool.
So I built the app. Now all the podcasts are posted on the Rehoboth Social app. So it's like has 10 groups. I don't know if you've mm-hmm. ever seen it, but it's got 10 groups. And the podcasts get posted in the group that most, you know, kind of categorizes what the podcast is. And it's still like dining. You know, anybody that's been involved in the food or the restaurants, they go into that. Activities and sports. Like I'm going to put yours probably under activity.
Okay.
Photographer. There's one for photography. You know, I've had like Rob Waters and different photographers. They go into photography. So if you go on the Rehoboth Social app and then you go into a group, like if you go into, you know, photography, you're going to see all the podcasts that are pertinent to photography. So, but it's a great app because it has direct messaging. It's got a local button. Yeah. It's got a lot of fun stuff in it. But the problem is that there's not an audience. And which is...
There is an audience. It's just how do you connect to that audience? It's, you know, creative direction... for human connection. That's one of my big
creative things. Direction for human connection. I like that.
Thanks. That's something.
Did you just come up with that?
It's something that I'm, you know.
Did you come up with that while you're running?
Something I want to work on and explore a little further.
I get the www dot on that one.
Yeah. I got a couple of them like that. So there's a few things.
Well, last couple weeks ago was cooperation over competition, which I thought was a great.
So you do the same thing. You kind of come up with things, and then you put it in your, like, your
notes.
No,
I didn't come up with that. Somebody else had said it, but I do like, I think it comes along with being 50.
Mm.
You know, it's not as much of the fight anymore. I don't feel like questioning and arguing on every turn of the trail. I just want to be like, hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
You know.
How do I add value to your life?
It's and, you know, at 50, you start, you know, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
In, physically and mentally. You know, I had a girl on and we were talking about she owns a gym and it's like, and I've known this. It's like, and like if somebody opened a printing place, you'd be like, oh God, there goes our business. You know, when I open the hair salon, you hear another hair salon open. I'm like, oh God, they're all going to go there.
Right.
But it doesn't happen that way. And I'm like, 10 years ago, I would be full of fear. And today I'd be like, let's send them a fruit basket. You know, how can we help you? You know, let me introduce myself. If I have a client I can't take, let me send them your way. And because it's just easier, softer way.
I'm all about it because at the end of the day, I want to create community.
Right.
And that's something that we have around here that we don't really even, we don't understand how lucky we are.
Wait till your kid starts going into like elementary school and you'll find out what an amazing community we have because, you know, my kids are in at Rehoboth Elementary now and it's just like I see my friends at school or, you know, I take the kids to school, I see my friends dropping their kids off and we've all just kind of, it's just an amazing community and you'll have your new community as your child enters kindergarten and stuff.
And it's cool, it's a place to network, it's I don't know. I'm all about, you know, adding value and helping to build up the community.
Yep.
Because this is where my daughter is going to grow up. This is where I live. This is where my friends have kids at. And so it's important to me.
It feels good. There's you know, I spent a long time, a big part of my life, not liking that, mm-hmm. not caring about that. And it feels good to be in a community like that that's like that. Because these communities are disappearing. You know,
quickly.
We're lucky that we have it, and it doesn't take far. It doesn't take long. Just going like even actually, Virginia Beach is pretty cool. I like Virginia Beach off season.
I lived in Virginia Beach for a little while. I liked the little area that I lived in, which is the Chicks Beach area.
Chicks Beach.
Yeah, Chicks is my.
Was that because there was a lot of chicks, or?
There might have been a couple.
We don't mention too much, but.
I like it more so than like the water, the ocean front.
Well, I've gone both times of the year. We used to go, is it the 1st of October? Is it the Poseidon?
Oh, I want to say Sea Witch, but I'm like, no.
It's not Sea Witch. It's like the Poseidon Festival or something.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They have this huge sandcastle competition, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I think it's the first week of October. Virginia Beach in October is amazing. I've also been in June. And it's not amazing. It's freaking, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not fun. And then we've also been in the winter, which is nice. Virginia Beach is nice because it's not far. You know, you can get down there in a few hours, and it's an easy, simple drive.
It is. It's almost a straight shot.
Well, listen, I gotta mention a couple things real quick. Mm-hmm. If anybody's listening to the podcast, we, first of all, super really appreciate it. All we ask is maybe you can share it. Corporate's been on my back. Get people to share the podcast. So share your hopefully when you put I post this, Shay, I will
reshare.
Share it and then, you know, the Rehoboth Social Podcast app. Go to the app, check it out. You know, just like we were talking about. It's a terrific
build some
app.
Community people.
Yeah, it's you can post pictures, you can follow the podcast, you can direct message us. There's a local button built in if you want to just, especially small businesses that might use the app, if you want to reach out, you can set a miles circumference, how far the post goes out. So if you hit the local button, it brings up a thing. You can determine how many miles it goes out, and then only those people see it. So if you're doing like a hamburger night and you just want to reach out to the locals, you can do that.
That's very cool.
It's a great app. It's for fun. We don't track you. And then we have a new website. It's called Rehoboth Social Podcast Channel.com. And you can book podcasts on there. You can send us, it has a mailbag. Corporate's been crying about this mailbag for forever. I'm like, you get a mailbag here. Now you can check it. So go there, Rehoboth Social Podcast Channel.com, and check it out. And I think that's all. And then, you know, we're still looking for a person to do chair rental at the Thomas David Salon if anybody's interested. Hey, Shay, cheers to you. Cheers with this. Oh, what are we? Cheers and water?
We'll cheers some
seltzer.
Some seltzer.
I always love giving people seltzer because they take a few drinks and then they're like,
This is all I drink.
The struggle is real.
Strawberry guava.
That's nice. Do you like those?
I have only had these like one time. I'm a polar guy.
Okay, I'll have you back and I'll try to have the right water.
It's okay. You know, I drink them all.
I do like the Rise shirt.
Oh, got it. Shout out to Rise.
Did you listen to the podcast I did with Ryan when he talked about his European adventure?
I haven't.
Or European vacation.
I haven't listened to it yet. I just saw it either this morning or last night. I saw that it was up.
He's a great guy. Listen, Shay, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
You, like I said, maybe you can come back. I'd love to have you back, yeah, but I won't bug.
Yeah.
I'll just ask. And
maybe once I start gearing up for a cool run and we can kind of get into the mental side of what goes on when I'm going through this and kind of how I plan this out.
I'd love to hear about it. And I would say I'd go for a run with you, but I don't feel like feeling bad about myself, so I'm going to skip it. If you ever want to go for an injured run, you know, like when your leg falls off and you still want to go for a run, I'll join you.
I'm all for it.
All right, brother. Well, thank you. I always say, thanks for taking part of your day to come hang out with me. I appreciate it, my man.
All righty.
All right, bud. I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.